Infendo Radio is on now.
Welcome to Infendo Radio, the best Nintendo podcast on the English-speaking internet. This is episode 287. I'm your host, Lewis Pugh, and joining me tonight we have Harrison Neufeld.
Hey, everybody.
And Holly Belmuth.
Hi, guys.
On today's show, we have three main segments. We're going to start off with what we've all been playing. We're going to then move on to the Nintendo news. And finally, we're going to finish our second part piece of the best non-main Pokemon games. Starting with what we've been playing, I think it's fairly safe to say that we've all been playing Pokemon X and Y still.
It's controlled our lives right now, so I mean, I told everybody like previous podcast before that it's like, have you been playing Wind Waker HD, you know, which is obviously, you know, a little older right now, well, a couple weeks older, but you know, it's like, I've been sucked in. You ever get one of those games that you're sucked in so much that really, you have your day-to-day things to do, be it, you know, 9-to-5 job, you know, doing your little hobbies, whatever, and then you have that game that sucks you in. Pokemon Y or X is that game right now that does to me. And I recently went on a trip to my old alma mater at the University of Missouri, and I decided not to bring my 3DS, and safe to say that I was having withdrawals, you know, and then anytime friends that I've not seen in about a year or two, they would be chatting with me saying, oh, what have you been playing, whatever, and I'd be like, Pokemon, you know, don't mention it, I don't have it with me, and I really, really want to play right now, because my roommate already beat the Elite Four right now, and has been kind of going back and just asking me to whatever to start his game over, trade his Pokemon, that way we have a bunch of legendaries on there, and I ask him, what's the purpose of that exactly, and he's like, oh, you know, just to own some noobs online, well, started my nomenclature on there, but own those, you're very, not so much seasoned Pokemon veterans.
You say your friend has already beaten the Elite Four, assuming he got to the credits.
Yes.
So how far are all of us? Have any of us actually beaten the game yet, in terms of seeing the first set of credits?
I have not.
I have not either.
Just before we recorded this, I finished my 8th gym badge, and right now, right before we were recording, I've been just searching, you know, for a Dratini. That's it, because, you know, it's one of the routes that you have to go into is Route 21, and I'm still trying to figure out how to get on this creek side just to use the Super Rod to, you know, lure it in. I'm still trying to figure out the route to get there, because that's one Pokemon I want to level up to get to Dragonair, and then to Dragonite. Yeah, just it's my favorite Pokemon.
Okay, how about you, Holly?
I haven't finished either. I think I've got 5 badges now, but that's because I'm a pretty casual Pokemon player. I've been, you know, scouring the world, trying to find all the different types, capture them, and I've been actually spending a lot of time with Wonder Trading and just doing activities with friends.
Nah, that's cool. I've not beaten the game yet either. I've just beaten the 7th gym. But it is cool that you can, you know, make progress in the game, as it were, just by catching monsters, because you still get the experience points for it. Whereas before, it would kind of not punish you so much, but you wouldn't gain anything beyond the Pokemon you catch. You are at least getting the experience to your team.
Yeah, that has been what I've been doing. And the funny thing about that is that I almost feel like I must be ahead or something like that. Like, all my team of Pokemon must be way too high a level, because I, you know, when I decide, like, okay, now I'm going to continue on and beat some of the game, I kick everybody's butts, because I've, you know, just spent so much time training and catching Pokemon and just not really worrying too much about beating the game so much as enjoying the game.
Before, you could kind of play it in a variety of different styles, but I think they've improved upon that aspect. So yeah, it is really cool that you can go out and not just plow through the story, but enjoy these other aspects of the game and enjoy the game at your own pace. Something I only kind of remembered that existed before the podcast started is the website, the Pokemon Global Link. Now, when I set the game up with the Global Link, I noticed unless the system was lying to me, Holly, you've also gone through this process.
Yes.
Excellent. Okay, so it works. So, Harrison, you have not, the site tells me. Do you know what the Pokemon Global Link is?
Me? I've heard of it, but at this time, I'm still trying to figure out how to use it. I haven't used Pokemon on me or even the player search system, all that at the moment. I mean, I know my roommate has used it a lot, whatever, just to, you know, not really boost up stats, but just to kind of, like, you know, play friends and including myself. But no, I haven't gotten a chance.
That's right. So we've got kind of a good range here. I've only just really discovered it. Holly's connected it at some point, and you haven't quite got there yet. So what the Pokemon Global Link is, because I think a lot of people listening may not have used this feature either, it is essentially a website which you can connect to your 3DS game, and then your 3DS game data will synchronize with this website. And there's a few cool things you can do on both the site and the game. And so when you first connect the site with your game, you can see a lot of your game stats onto the website. So you can see your profile, it has your name, your little avatar looks like how you've customized them. And what I thought was really cool, there's this Facebook-like live stream of activities you've been doing in the game, and they're all displayed on this webpage. And so it will say the date, like from real life, what day you first started the game and what Pokemon you chose, and then like the date and the time of when you got the different badges. And there's also little buttons to like or to favorite, and it copies your friend list from the game. So if other people have also gone through the same process, I assume you can share things directly with the friends you've already made directly in the game. So that's pretty cool. I just haven't seen this feature really advertised that much.
Yeah, that's really strange just to think about that. I mean, I'm still trying to figure out, you know, what is the deal with that?
Yeah, and I think they've got some kind of exciting possibilities they could run with that in the future. But what they're saying there, things that they will roll out are there's going to be certain activities you're going to be able to play on the website by gaining these, I think they're called Poke Miles, which you can gain just by walking around or gaining experience and doing other things in the game. And with these Poke Miles on the website, you'll be able to play these activities, which aren't available yet, but will be some point down the road. So it's definitely a huge improvement to what they were doing with Black and White and Black and White 2 of the Global Link. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, it's this seemingly hidden away feature, which I think a lot of people might have overlooking. It's definitely worth checking out. It's obviously completely free. Just use your favorite search engine of choice, type in Pokemon Global Link, and it's a fairly simple process. So in terms of these kind of almost distractions or detours to the main story, has anything in particular been kind of occupying your time on these games?
Mostly just progressing a lot. I mean, you know, like I'd said, half the time between, you know, gyms, I would be sitting there just to level up my Pokemon. Of course, the EXP share has been a lifesaver when it comes to that. But, you know, just able to level up my Pokemon probably, you know, without even using most of them. And that's what mostly I occupy my time in between gyms, you know. Half the time, you know, probably if I want to, once I beat the Elite Four, that's usually where I go back to backtrack and, you know, kind of go back for my classic Pokemon, like, you know, search and catch, or like catching little rendezvous. But it's, as far as one thing that's gotten me to it, whatever, is that, I don't know, just kind of just admiring just the game as well. You know, things of how much this series has changed from each generation over the last, like, you know, boy, like 16, 15 years. And even I have friends that ask me that they want to see this game in action since they haven't played a Pokemon game in about the same amount as I have, like 10 years. And they just want to see how the battle system works out.
See, I think people who haven't played the game in a while are quite impressed of how the battle system now looks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure it's because Game Freak had to work extra hard to kind of get these graphics working on the 3DS, or it's just the fact that they held on to that sprite-based system for so long. So it seems like we're doing multiple generations of a jump here. But yeah, I've shown this, shown the game to a couple of friends who used to play the game, and they seem like they're quite interested in investing in a 3DS now so they can purchase either version of this. What I did want to ask you guys is, have you used the game chat option online yet?
The what?
So the game chat, which is basically VoIP, so voice chat.
Yeah, I did. My first time battling, whatever, I completely forgot that was an option on there, but I was having a bit of difficulty trying to, you know, for the person I was battling with to kind of answer back.
Okay, so it wasn't great then.
No, I think, don't they sell 3DS, like, what am I thinking of?
A headset?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I know the original DS you could, because it had that little kind of extension near the headphone jack. So it probably is built into the normal audio jack, but I've not seen one before.
Well, they did sell one for the DS, I think. What was it when...
It was probably Metroid Hunters.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, I think that was... That definitely had voice chat, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, I think you could even talk in the lobbies. I think that was a big thing at the time. And to be fair, Nintendo hasn't made huge strides above that with voice integration into online games.
Yeah, we could go on for that right now. I mean, yeah. I think one of my favorite podcasts, Nintendo Voice Chat, is just kind of a tongue-in-cheek title, just at that kind of that service that Nintendo's not really... hasn't really caught on as well.
Obviously, me and Harrison were talking about X and Y also on last week's show, and we discussed what we had in our team and just kind of a bit of detail of what we were doing with the Pokemon in the game. So I was wondering, Holly, what starter did you actually end up choosing, and what does your team look like if you've got the game at hand?
My starter was Fennekin.
Ah, okay.
Which is funny. I think I mentioned a couple shows ago that my brother really... He kind of makes decisions based on the looks of Pokemon as well as types. Like, he has his favorite types, but...
I do that, too.
Which one did you choose?
Me, I chose...
I gotta ask that first.
I chose Chespin. And yes, I think I chose it because I think the previous ones, I never did choose a grass type. And yeah, his cuteness won me over.
All right. Well, my brother was going to pick Chespin, but then he saw the final evolution, and he's like, no way. So he went with Froakie, and he said... I obviously wanted to pick something different from him, and I was going to go with Fennekin anyway, but he's all like, Fennekin's got one of the weirdest-looking final evolutions ever. And I didn't actually, like, get a sneak peek of what it looked like. I just waited until I evolved mine all the way to see what it looked like. And when it evolved into its final form, what's it called? Delphox?
Yes.
I was like, oh my gosh, he was right.
It's like a fox wizard. That's what it is.
My brother likes to try and imagine what these things would look like, you know, in real life. And he's all like, just imagine a Delphox in real life. That is the stuff of nightmares.
Gawker Media, I think, put out like some post a couple right around the time when X and Y released saying, like what, you know, Pokemon in real life. And yes, it is stuff that what you've seen, you cannot unsee. It is mortifyingly scary.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because we all grow up wishing that we lived in the world of Pokemon, but it's best left as a cartoon world.
Are you kidding me? If Ash Ketchum lived in the entire, like, you know, this universe, and you know how he strives to be the best Pokemon master out there, I would call him out for that, because if you look at how many Pokemon he's caught out of the close to 700, 800 that are out right now, he's only caught around like 48 to 50 based on the TV show. And I say this to him, it's like, he's a scrub Pokemon trainer. There's a better ones out there in real life than him.
Yeah, I had a friend recently remind me about, I think there's an episode in the first season or something where Ash catches like a bunch of like Tauros, and then they all just, you know, like go to Professor Oak at the lab, and we never hear from them again.
Yeah, sorry, there you go. What? Oh no, Tauros. I just got a really bad thought, a bad image in my head of Tauros being sent to the meat grinder.
That was obscure. On the note of about the anime show, though, has the Origins episodes come out in America yet?
No, I don't think so. I think those are coming out in November.
Yeah, I think they're out shortly. That does look very cool, because it follows the story not of Ash, but of Red from the original game. And it looks like he is a decent trainer. I won't spoil it. I think I've heard a spoiler about what happens to the end of it, but it sounds like he is a very cool trainer in the world of Pokemon. So I'm looking forward to seeing that come out. Before we move on, I just wanted to say, you brought up the point that Pokemon, realistic Pokemon, isn't quite, or is almost a thing of nightmares, as it were. So I'm glad that they've kept this kind of really cartoony style, because they could have gone in a more realistic direction making the 3D models. They could have, you know, they currently have kind of flat textures to them, so it makes them look like they're from a cartoon. But they could have easily, you know, attempted to, you know, apply, you know, fur effects on them or other sort of texturing. But I don't think it would look quite right. I think it would lose some of its cutesy appeal.
Yeah.
Yeah, something on that, you're just trying to... You're trying to play God here, making like a Pokemon in real life right now. I mean, imagine these things were running around. I don't think I would not be in the career that I'm trying to, you know, get my foot in the door at the moment. So I mean, imagine my resume. It's like, so what do you do? Oh, I'm a Pokemon trainer. And at that point, it's just dead silence. Or like, okay, what are your what if you have a weak? Do you have any weaknesses? And I'm like, oh great, you follow up with a question that I really don't like. I can't catch Mewtwo.
I thought you were just meant to the list of the specific elements of your weaknesses.
Well, yeah, I know. It's like, I'm weak to water.
Has anyone got anything further to say about X or Y before we move on?
That it's controlling my life.
Yeah, actually, same here. But on the note of, like, realism, I was just thinking, like, imagine Pokemon attacking each other realistically. Like, imagine the move Bite or Crunch. If they decided to make Pokemon look more realistic, that would be a little gruesome.
Yes, especially with the certain combinations of Pokemon you could have. Because they come in all sorts of, you know, different shapes and sizes. You could have a mammoth of a Pokemon essentially biting something absolutely tiny. And if that was done any sort of realistic sense, it would look terrifying.
I think that's going to be our header for the episode, just to scare people off, whatever. Just a realistic Pikachu or Onix.
Yeah, we'll hunt for that one. We'll see what we find. Actually, probably poor choice of wording, but yeah, if they did a Pokemon-style Monster Hunter game, that's essentially what a realistic Pokemon game would be. Yeah, and as cool as that kind of sounds, I don't think it's what we should have. They should stick to doing what they're doing. So the other game I've picked up recently is Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney Dual Destinies. And besides it being a mouthful of a name, it's very cool. It sticks to its traditional styles from the first four DS games, and it does very much feel like one of those. However, it's had this absolutely huge production values put into it, and all the 2D art has been replaced in a similar way to Pokemon, actually, with gorgeous 3D models. They've even gone one step further, and they've put these very impressive anime cutscenes into the game, and they're all in 3D as well. Now, I've done just the first case so far, and traditionally the first cases are kind of introduction cases. So if you've not played the game before, they kind of teach you the ropes and what you need to do, or at least they give you chances to. Thankfully, most of the time, they kind of weave it into the story where you get asked if you need reminding about a certain aspect of the game, and most times you can just say no if you know what you're doing. So yeah, it seems like it would be absolutely fine for, at least from what I've played so far, for people who haven't played the previous games to jump straight into this version. It seems to be a clear-cut story. However, that may change throughout the duration of the game. They normally get a bit wacky. So yeah, so far so good on this one. And they've introduced one of the new characters is a character called Athena. And in Phoenix Wright tradition, she has a new gimmick, which the new assistants do. And the gimmick in this game for her is that she, in her own words, can listen to people's hearts. And what this really means for the game is when people are giving their own testimonies, you get these kind of emoticon icons kind of flash depending whether they're really happy or they're sad, despite what they're actually saying. And the example in the introduction is this character is describing this this tragic event, and basically this wall is about to fall on top of her, and she's describing this as if it's a scary event. However, the happy emotion is flashing, and at which point you can kind of drill into why that's the case, and you can get some extra testimony and keep the case going. I mean, despite all the kind of the new production values and, you know, the new visual effects in the game, again, it does really feel like the old games, and I think anyone who's played the old games probably think that's an absolutely great thing. I don't think I've met anyone who's actually played the games and hated them. So if you have played any of the previous games, you're probably already playing this one now, because it's been quite a long space between the last one and this one. However, if you haven't played any of the previous games, I would firstly recommend you check out the demo, which is currently on the eShop, which gives you a fair taste of what the game has to offer. And I was pleasantly surprised of how they're pricing this. I'm not sure the US pricing, but for the UK, it's only £20, which is almost half price to a standard retail game. So I don't mind at all that they're not selling a box copy over here, and they're not in America either, because one, I don't mind my games downloaded, and two, they're offering it for an absolutely great price, and I wouldn't mind paying quite a bit more for it. Have either of you had a chance to check out the demo?
I have not.
I haven't either.
I think you two should definitely download the demo, and let me know how you feel about it on the next show.
I think I need to, given how this is really something like one of those. I had a friend of mine who plays this series, and he's been bothering me just to play it as well, and I need to actually get on that soon.
Yeah, and the fact they're actually offering a demo is obviously the first time in the series. But I think it should be really good, because I think a lot of people will see this series and think, well, I might like it, but there's too much of a chance I wouldn't, so I'm not going to invest just going out and buying it before trying it. So this is really the first time people can go out and, you know, just try the game for free without having to invest in buying the game itself. So I'm hoping a lot of people do try it out, and hopefully it should build up the Phoenix audience. And you never know, we might get another game in the series.
Hope so.
Anyway, I think that's going to be all from Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney, Dual Destinies. And that moves us nicely onto the Nintendo news.
The important part of the show, I guess.
Okay, yeah, we got some good items to discuss here. First of all, we've got a new deluxe bundle in America, which is the new Super Mario Bros. U and new Super Luigi U bundle. So this essentially replaces, I believe, the current Nintendo Land deluxe bundle. So it's available for the same price, and you get both games. And this comes into effect the 1st of November. And on the same date, possibly because of its non-presence in this new bundle, we have a price reduction on Nintendo Land. And it drops down from its current price of $59.99 to $29.99. And so that comes in on the same day. Just chucking a question out to you guys here. Does this bundle look more appealing than the Nintendo Land one? Or is it just kind of a variation?
I believe so, because what Nintendo was trying to kind of accomplish with Nintendo Land was that same success that they had with Wii Sports. And given how Nintendo Land kind of tugged the strings of, you know, the hardcore fan base for, you know, it's based on its nostalgia, but in a sense, it didn't have that wow factor of, like, you know, once you had, like, the Wiimote playing with the, you know, with Wii Sports, you know, you obviously imagined what you were doing through pantomime, just to, like, you know, be with your bowling, playing baseball, boxing, tennis, even golf. And with the Nintendo Land, it had those features that showed off what the gamepad was able to do, but it didn't get that hook that what Nintendo was looking for with Wii Sports. And with this, especially with this new Super Mario Brothers and new Super Mario Brothers Luigi U, it's able to, you know, get to the kids, but also to that hardcore audience that was a little bit, you know, little mum on buying a Wii U. And, you know, you have that alongside with, I don't know, you can always base a good idea of how well this thing can sell if a Mario bundle does sell well.
Yeah, I think it's actually a surprisingly clever bundle here. Although it, you know, obviously New Super Mario Bros. U was a launch game, so it could have been bundled in the first place. I think a lot of people will see New Super Mario Bros. U as a more approachable game than Nintendo Land. I mean, first of all, I don't think anyone looks at the Wii U bundle and go, ooh, Nintendo Land, what's that? I think it's purely people who know about it who would or would not be interested in it. But the casual person who hasn't got the Wii U yet will look at New Super Mario Bros. U and know what it's all about. And not only that, because it's got the bundled DLC pack, which was also available on disc, it's essentially two games for one. So they can look at it as they're getting an extra game for the same price. So yeah, I think this could do pretty well, and it's probably a better option doing that bundle and halving the price for Nintendo Land, because if you wanted to get two, it's now going to be considerably cheaper, because you wouldn't have to buy New Super Mario Bros. U, which is still full price, I believe, and then get Luigi DLC on top.
It's I enjoy these bundles. I really do. And I think this is one thing that kind of helped out, you know, like its competitors as well, you know, looking at Microsoft and even Sony, for instance. You did see a couple of those new Wii bundles, whatever, with, you know, Mario Kart 7, which, of course, even on us alone, Mario Kart 7 just sold Gamebusters, or Mario Kart Wii, I mean, sold Gamebusters. And in the case of this one, I mean, this is just giving options. I mean, you've already lowered the price of your console, you know, offer yourself a free game to this. And are these bundles the same price as what we're getting for what the deluxe set is right now at $300, or are they slightly more expensive, $350?
So yeah, this one comes in at the new reduced price.
Okay, that's good. That is good. All right, because you have that and the Wind Waker bundle as well, too. See? I mean, this has to at least, you know, get that attention out there. I mean, I feel like, you know, even with the release of Wind Waker HD that we had heard last week on the podcast, how it had helped, you know, increase at least Wii U sales. What was it, by like 200%, I believe?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, and you have this along with Super Mario 3D World and Wii Fit U coming out. These could help it out. It's all going to be telling whatever when you see what this console will be after 2013. If these bundles are able to kind of, like, you know, keep the ship afloat.
Yeah, it definitely seems that they're kind of putting their money on the bundle strategy this year. I know over here they've got at least three Wii U bundles. I think, yeah, one of them is this bundle we've just described. They've obviously also got the Zelda bundle. And I believe they have... Oh, actually, no, there's a couple more bundles. There is going to be a Wii U Party bundle. I know they're doing a LEGO City Undercover bundle, which seems kind of mistimed, but thinking about it, it's probably a great thing for this holiday season. A lot of people, obviously... wouldn't have paid attention to its original launch, but LEGO is a big brand, especially in the holiday season. I could see that bundle probably selling more copies than the game did initially. Okay, we're going to move from one bundle to another, from console to portable. We talked about this last week, the Zelda 3DS XL. So this is the one which was promoting A Link Between Worlds, and it came in a black and gold 3DS with the Triforce on the top. However, it's been confirmed now to come out to America, whereas before it was for Europe. So yeah, I think this has been confirmed worldwide now. So this is two Zelda 3DS limited editions we've had so far.
The first being the Ocarina of Time one, which, if you want to find that online, it's going on for a nice little hefty price on Amazon or eBay for $400 and $500.
That's pretty nice. Yeah, it's almost an incentive just to pick one of these up and keep it in the box.
You know,
see, as an investment.
I might just do that. Who knows? You know what? I would like to actually, you know, have 1 month where I don't pay rent. That would be, or 2 months. Who knows?
Yeah, I can't really imagine it decreasing in price. People do love their Zeldas.
And of course, we're going to be loving that once it comes out at the end of next month, so...
Yeah, I still don't think we've seen enough of that game. I mean, what we've seen does look good, but I just feel there's so much of that we don't know about it. Which I guess can be a good thing when jumping into a game. Okay, the next item we have is about a Club Nintendo Rewards. And the reason why we're featuring this is because it's actually a functional gift. Basically, you can now order multicoloured 3DS XL charging cradles. And they come in a whole rainbow of different colours. More colours than there are of 3DSs, I believe. But it is very cool to see this sort of product being given as a Club Nintendo reward. I mean, I'm not sure how the point system works for the Club Nintendo you guys have.
This one, I am seeing it right now, and the colours it comes to are, you know, blue, yellow, red, green, white. And this case right now, they have not listed what the price is. I mean, it says it's coming to Club Nintendo on Halloween. And of course, they say limited quantities are going to be available. And just for everybody, just to remind everybody, this is not compatible with the regular Nintendo 3DS. It's just for the XL, which, of course, once it was released, it did not come with a charging cradle.
I actually know that it's 500 coins for one of these, so that answers that question.
So how achievable is 500 coins in Club Nintendo?
I would say that each coin that you get in Club Nintendo of America, I don't know how it is with yours, but each coin basically represents roughly a dollar spent.
Okay.
So... that's about how it works.
Okay.
And every other region gets better Club Nintendo rewards than we do, I think. I mean, Japan, I think they have the Mario Kart trophies, and Europe...
I think we've had the trophies as well.
Okay,
I think we've also recently had Pikmin plushies.
You're tugging at my heart here, Lewis. Please, I want those.
Make it extra special. We don't have coins, we have stars.
You got a star... Oh, wow. Imagine if each territory is different. We have coins, you have stars, and Japan has shines.
Yeah. I'm not sure what Japan has. They possibly have coins as well.
It could be rupees, who knows? That'd be a lot of better currency.
Yeah, they would win if they had rupees.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think this is going to move us on to our final piece of Nintendo news, which kind of wraps with the overall theme of the show. There has been a patch for Pokemon X and Y. So we discussed last week how there had been discovered that there was a saving bug, and there's a certain part of Pokemon that if you save your save file can become corrupted. However, there a patch for this has now come out. If you don't have it yet, if you pop over to the eShop, it should alert you before the shop actually opens, as it were. And so you can just download that, and it patches your game. It doesn't download another little app or something. It is a proper patching process, so it's good to see that in there. And you'll see a little 1.1 at the bottom of your game when you start that up.
So this has been fixed?
It has been fixed, but you do have to pop over to the eShop. It will automatically prompt you when you do, but you need to head to the eShop. I'm not sure why that is the process. I mean, it seems like they've got so close now. They've got the patching working. They've already got some automatic alerting, but they just need that step to be in the game, not when you get to the eShop. But nah, we'll take it for now. Baby steps, Nintendo.
At least they're getting these updates as quickly as possible. I think, what was it, the one game-breaking save in Skyward Sword took a little bit while for them to actually, you know, patch up or to, you know, release.
Yeah, I think that was almost a couple months, and they did have to do that through one of these, you know, a throwaway Wii channels. You had to download this channel, it would do something when you ran it, and then you could just you know, there's no point of the channel anymore.
They always had, those old really useless channels out there. I mean, useless in the terms of it just one off, and then there you go. You couldn't actually just download the patch to, the Wii Shop channel and just put on there. It's like, no, you have to download this channel for it. You know, it's like going through all these hoops just to do this.
See, I mean, ironically, we've got an interface now which would be more appropriate for, downloading these little apps, as it were, to do certain things. But it now seems that Nintendo is not doing that so much. Before, we had four channels, we would have, the, it seems like silly things, but we'd have things like, the voting channel.
The voting channel.
What other little bits do we have?
I remember being excited for that channel when it first came out. I think it was like early 2007, and then after about a month, I never used it again.
Yeah, no, you're right. But I know what I'm thinking of. They had things like the weather and the news channel. That would make even more sense in this generation when they were apps. In a sense, they were before their time, because the Wii was out before we had iPhones, but they essentially had this, grid of apps on their screen. They just didn't quite utilize it. But yeah, I mean, they're not creating these kind of so mini software channel apps anymore. They may be doing it in the future. It might be that they're kind of directing their attention, as it were, creating these more meaty experiences, like the karaoke service app or game or service, I'm not sure what you call that, which you download for free, and then you can pay micro installments to use it for, a night or a week or something. So, it's interesting how that one came around.
It is, and it, as far as that, I mean, like you said, this is Nintendo taking baby steps right now. It's just these baby steps are few and far between.
But now they do have a lot of player play. Although we don't have it yet, the fact that they've kind of put together that the Wii TV service, and I guess they got the... Actually, I said they didn't do apps, but they have done the Street View one, and they did those videos where you can move the gamepad around. So I guess that is what's kind of replaced those previous channels, is making these sort of...
standalone apps, essentially, yeah.
Yeah, and I think, making them more meatier experiences so they can essentially charge you in some way for them, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's going to wrap it up for the Nintendo news. And our feature for this week is, I said at the start of the show, it is going to be our second part of our non-main Pokemon games feature. However, it wasn't actually planned that way, to be fair. We did the feature last week, and we were reminded by a website commenter, Risen Devil, that we missed out quite a few games in our discussion. So I brought up his list of suggestions of games we failed to talk about, and I thought now will be a better time than any to discuss these.
We're sorry, Risen Devil, for forgetting this. When thinking about non-Pokemon games, it's the usuals that come up there, be it the Stadium or Coliseum, and of course, Snap. And I'm sure you're upset when we talked about Hey You Pikachu over Pokemon Pinball.
Yeah, I'll let you, Harrison, read off the list that we forgot about.
Well, the list that we forgot on here, and of course we put comments from Risen Devil on here, but we will get into it in a bit. But the ones that we left off were Pokemon Pinball, the Pokemon Trading Card Game, the Pokemon Ranger series, Pokemon Dream Radar, and Pokemon Conquest. I have only played two of these, and the only two I have played were Pinball and the Trading Card Game.
Risen Devil doesn't specify here. There were two Pokemon Pinball games, so I'm just kind of making our original case worse here. But there was one on the Game Boy Color, which had a built-in rumble pack into the cartridge, and there was one on the Game Boy Advance, which didn't. Which version did you play?
Which one? The,
Could you feel the rumbling in your pinball?
Yes. Yes. No, I did buy that for my Game Boy Color. Was it? Yeah, it's for my Game Boy Color. I did have that, but I didn't... It was the first version I actually played.
That's cool. So yeah, that was the one, the rumble. There was a couple of Game Boy Color games which had that weird built-in rumble. I know there was this kind of generic racing game as well, and there might have been something else. I quite liked that Pokemon Pinball game, thinking about it. It felt quite similar to the Kirby Pinball game on the Game Boy as well, if you've played that.
Yeah, and then you'd find out in later versions of the Game Boy Advance that it was not compatible with it.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And that disappointed me, too, because it was one game I was, looking through my old Game Boy Color games, I want to play this, and it's it's not compatible. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Did you have a chance to check out, back in the day, Pokemon Pinball Holly?
No, I actually haven't played a single game on this list.
Oh, no. Risen Devil's not going to be happy. Risen Devil doesn't think Pokemon Pinball was anything special. I'm not sure which version he played, to be fair. I didn't play the Advance game. But I did quite like the Game Boy Color version. Okay, I think we'll move on now to the TCG. I think this was... I can't remember if this was Game Boy Classic with Color compatibility or if it was just Game Boy Color. But this was different. This took the trading card game, made kind of almost made an RPG out of it. It wasn't really story-based, but you could walk around like you could in the proper adventure games. And you could essentially buy booster packs, you could make your own deck, and you would challenge other computer characters to... games of Pokemon cards. And I remember the interface being so squashed in the Game Boy screen. And I was, even at the time, surprised they managed to just kind of make that interface which lets you, you know, sort out a deck of cards on this screen which has this absolutely tiny resolution to it. But the game was fun. An odd thing I remember out of the game is, I'm not sure why they took this decision around it, but all the characters were always on their walking animation, even when they were standing still. It was quite bizarre. I'm not sure if that's an influence from another franchise, but yeah, everyone was just kind of walking on the spot all the time. It's quite bizarre. I don't know why that's kind of been stuck in my memory ever since. So you said you played this, Harrison?
Yes, I have. And it was kind of a when it was my height of back then with the trading card game, like the actual trading card game. Yeah. I just collected just to get them all, like, you know, to collect the cards and, you know, get the holographics. And
then this game must have been very confusing.
A bit. I mean, without the age of, like, online connectivity not there, it really, I mean, this is a game that could benefit. I'm sure there's ROMs of it online where you can actually do something like this, but that was something that would have probably let me stay in the game as far as I did until I moved on to Yu-Gi-Oh!, which, by the way, this is how I actually, friends of mine would actually get holographics when trying to look through cards. At a local Toys R Us, they would go by where the sets of the cards are, and this was before these things were locked up behind a counter. I'm assuming this is the reason why they did this. They would take a small little weighing scale, which I'm not going to get into detail what they were using it before, and they would just weigh each of the packs of the cards. And if it had a holographic in it, they would weigh about like 0.001% difference over the other packs. So they would just go through one box of cards and just grab all the holographics, and it wasn't until about a couple months later until they caught on, and they're like, and they moved all their cards into the back, you know, into the back, whatever, like behind the counter. So yeah, they would clean house on these holographics, but it's not as good as my, you know, my success story when I was at the height of the game, when I begged my mom, whatever, to, like, you know, hey, can I have, like, you know, can I have like extra bucks just to get some Pokemon cards? Like, yeah, sure. And you know, I had enough money to get myself three packs, bought one, opened up. What do I pull out? Holographic Charizard. Okay, wow, this is good. Ask for another one. Pull it out. I'm not kidding you right now. A holographic Blastoise. Next one. Open up. A holographic Dragonite. I don't know if God or the card gods out there are looking out for me, but, you know, after walking out of that card store or whatever, I was on cloud nine. I was just sitting there just saying to myself, oh my God, I've been looking for these cards for so long.
But yeah, that's incredible, like, because as you said, you didn't always get a holographic card back in the day. I think you do now. I think, like, you know, it's the everyone a winner's philosophy. I think there is a shiny card in every pack you get now.
And it kind of dilutes the chances and such on there. I mean, it just doesn't make it as fun.
No, you know, I did like it back in the day because they, you know, it felt more like the game, and you would get these rare Pokemon, and it would be exciting when someone had it because you want to, you know, transform some sort of, you know, bizarre trade with them to get it yourself. Actually, what I did want to mention about the trading card game before moving on to our next game is that there is a way to play this essentially in a more modernized version completely officially. Now, it's another one of the Pokemon Company's kind of internet initiatives. So if you head over to Pokemon.com, there will be a button, I think the top right-ish of the site, where you can go over to the TCG part of the site. And what you can do is play Pokemon trading card game online with other people. And it also, as long as they still do the system, every time you buy a booster pack, you get a card with a code in it. You type the code in your PC, and you get a virtual booster pack for the online game. And I think it's another one of these kind of little Pokemon gems which goes completely hidden from most players. And I think it's quite crazy how there is this genuinely official Pokemon browser game which lets you play online, have friend lists, have game chat while you're playing. It's a fairly complicated system when you get involved in it, and you can trade cards as well, and lots of different things to customize your avatar. And the game itself is completely free and completely officially created by, you know, Nintendo and the Pokemon Company. And I think it'd be cool if they brought that out as an app for the Wii U, to be fair. It'd be great also if they could add some sort of NFC bit in the cards, so you could, you know, swipe them across your gamepad, or put the booster pack or like the deck box, whatever way they have to do it, over your gamepad, and you could just, you know, unlock the contents in the game. Because yeah, they've had this service now running for a couple of years, I think.
And that is something I want to add there, because there are other sites like games like Magic the Gathering, even Yu-Gi-Oh! They have these little online little applications or like based from the like the card publishing company to to make and publish these games through like the marketplace. I mean, I know that the Pokemon trading card game is still kind of going strong today, but it's still not at the it's far from the height of its popularity and its worldwide phenomenon from like the late 90s to the early 2000s. But this is something I think I would welcome on there. I'd go back on there and play it again.
Yeah. Okay, before this turns into the trading card game segment, we'll move on to the next one, which may be a bit tricky because I'm not sure either of us have played it. So this is the Pokemon Rangers series. So I believe this was a collection of games on the original DS. I don't think there were before. So you haven't played this, have you, Harrison?
No, none of the rest of this list I have not played.
We'll keep this very short because I've not played this either, nor is Holly. However, what Risen Devil says about this, he said the high point of these games were including events that had Pokemon that you could transfer to the main series. So, that sounds pretty cool, really. So I assume you could, in some way, catch Pokemon in the Ranger series and then move them across to your RPG game. I think we mentioned this, in a way, in last week's show, that it's cool when the Pokemon company lets you do that in these kind of side games, that you transfer something you've caught into your actual game. It'd be good to see them do more of that in the future. But beyond that, I can't really comment too much on Pokemon Ranger.
Yeah, I'm drawing blanks on it right now. I remember seeing them on retail, but they never did catch my attention.
Yeah, I think it involved you kind of drawing circles around Pokemon to catch them, or something like that. I didn't play it, but it seemed a little gimmicky at face value, and it might be why I didn't pick it up, but I can't really say too much more than that. But the next game I can, which is the Pokemon Dream Raider. So this came out, I think it was on the same day that Black and White came out for the DS. But it was a 3DS app. So it was a very small price, I remember. So it was only a couple pounds over here, and I imagine it was only a couple dollars, or still is. And what Pokemon Dream Raider let you do is, it was very similar to, I guess, the Fatal Raiders game, which came installed on the 3DS. So you could use your 3DS as a viewfinder, and you could move it around your room, and you would see these kind of these clouds, if memory serves. You could essentially catch these kind of sky Pokemon, and you could then, I guess in a similar way to Pokemon Ranger, transfer them to your Black and White game. I'll be honest, I think I only played it twice. It seemed quite cool at the time, but it didn't have a great replay value, or at least an appeal to jump back into it. It might have been because it came out at the same time Black and White. Black and White had my attention more so than Dream Raider. Yeah, I imagine if I checked out my 3DS now on the playtime, I probably only put about half an hour into this thing. Did either of you pick this up?
Again, nothing on that one.
No worries. All right, well, again, the last one's going to be a short one because none of us have played it either. The last one on this list was Pokemon Conquest. However, I am still tempted to pick this one up, because this was an odd game. But it's a spin-off between Pokemon and Nopananga's Ambition. And I apologise for the terrible pronunciation of that. I did try it several times, and that was the best. So yeah, it's this turn-based top-view strategy game. It kind of looks a bit like Fire Emblem. It does look very intriguing. I think it came out on the DS after the 3DS was out over here. So that might have been why I didn't pick it up myself. But beyond that, it does seem like a game which is kind of up my alley.
It had
a quite cool art style to it as well, if memory serves. And
if it has something that's similar to Fire Emblem, yeah, that kind of crosses my attention a little bit.
Yeah, because you have these kind of Japanese warriors with these Pokemon next to them in some sort of art style which makes that look like that's an actual thing. It's quite cool, yeah. You should look up some art for this. I'm very tempted to see if this game is going for cheap, but I have not played it myself. But it does look very cool. Risen Devil himself says for him, it's tied between that and Pokemon Snap as his best non-main Pokemon game, so it probably is worth considering. Okay, has anyone got any final thoughts about these non-main Pokemon games? Well, actually, before we do jump on, we never had a chance to ask you, Holly. Not about the games on this specific list, but what's your favourite kind of non-main Pokemon game? Did you play any on the N64 or...?
Well, I played Pokemon Stadium 2 when I was really young, which I really liked. But later on, I got into Pokemon Colosseum. I think I bought that one used at a GameStop or something like that, and I just thought, because actually, before I ever got it, I went to the Pokemon website, and I went to the official website for Pokemon Coliseum, and you could, like, purify Pokemon's hearts by doing little activities or something like that, and then if you purified all their hearts, you could get this cool screensaver that I just thought was the neatest thing ever. So I think it was like a couple years later when I finally actually had a GameCube, I saw a copy of that used at GameStop and I decided to try it out. And I know everyone thinks Pokemon Snap is like the best non-main Pokemon game, but I really, really like Pokemon Coliseum a lot. It's just, I don't know if any of you have played it, but it's actually got quite a dark storyline to it, considering that it's Pokemon. Like, you play this character who is like he starts out as a gang member, but like the initial cutscene is him like blowing up his gang's hideout and stealing this piece of equipment they have that allows you to steal other people's Pokemon.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, I think they should shake up the story in the main series of games. That seems like it's very structured, and it hasn't changed in a while. If they applied the story you just described in a main Pokemon game, I think that would be fantastic.
Yeah, imagine that, like, you're playing, like, Team Flare or Team Rocket. They try to steal your Pokemon in the middle, like, as a part of a strategy, and the only way you can get them back is if you defeat them.
Yeah, please not Team Flare. I do not want to play as them. I think, in my opinion, they are the worst bad guys Pokemon have seen so far.
It's just, they all talk about how well they're dressed, whereas in Team Rocket you felt, yeah, these are the bad guys, aside from, you know, Jesse and James being just the, you know, bumbling idiots of it.
Yeah, the thing about, yeah, Team Rocket, at least in the game, they didn't have any sort of gimmick behind them. They were just kind of thugs, or, you know, gangsters, as it were. They were just, you know, trying to commit crimes, you know, they were using the Pokemon to aid them. But they weren't trying to do anything silly like take over the world or, you know, cause some, you know, weird event to happen. It was just run by their boss, Giovanni, and they were doing things like, you know, cutting off Slowpoke tails and selling them and doing all little sorts of mischief and criminal acts. And yeah, I'm not sure I'm quite getting on with the vibe from Team Flare at the moment. Well, actually, I've gone a bit sidetracked here, but I did want to ask... Actually, no, you did answer that question. I was going to ask if Pokemon Conquest was the one with the RPG bit to it. So I assume from how you said the story was structured, I guess that was... So you actually did control a character you could run around with between battles.
You mean in Pokemon Coliseum?
Yeah.
Yes. And actually, he's not exactly a bad guy, because he takes this, you know... It just attaches to his arm, this thing that allows him to take other people's Pokemon. And he turns against, like, his prior, well, you know, his ex-gang members, I guess, because those guys were stealing other people's Pokemon and closing the door to their hearts, like closing the door to the Pokemon's hearts. And so the guy kind of turns into a good guy and catches these shadow Pokemon, is what they're called, and he works to restore their hearts, and it's actually a really interesting storyline for the Pokemon series. And if you haven't played it, man, I love that game. And you can, oh, I think that for a while, Pokemon Coliseum, before Heart Gold came out, that is, Pokemon Coliseum was the only way that you could get a Ho-Oh in your, like, Generation 4 games, Pokemon Diamond and Pokemon Pearl, and it took forever for me to get a Ho-Oh out of that game, because you gotta snag all the shadow Pokemon, purify all their hearts, evolve them all to the, you know, their max evolutions, and then you have to beat this, I think it's just called Mount Battle. It's like kind of a side quest. It's not even really in the real game. There is a Mount Battle in the main quest, but outside of the main quest, there's another mount battle that you have to beat. And you have to beat 100 trainers after doing all those other things that I mentioned to get a Ho-Oh, you know, without cheating in Pokemon Coliseum. And I literally spent hours and hours and hours getting that Ho-Oh. And I still have that Ho-Oh. I've transferred it all the way over to my copy of Pokemon White.
So you're waiting for the Pokemon Bank to move it over to X and Y then?
Yes, it's my prized Pokemon, and my favorite too, actually. Ho-Oh is my favorite species.
Well, excellent. No, that does sound really cool. Yeah, I do hope they make a nice new console version of one of these games. And before I completely forgot about Colosseum when thinking about the stadium games. But even if it is, you know, a lot, you know, very streamlined like Colosseum was in terms of the RPG aspect of it, that could still really look well and play well on the Wii U, for example. They don't necessarily have to do the full-blown experience, but if they could, you know, provide this kind of different slice of story you wouldn't necessarily get on the Pokemon game and present it, again, in a different way to how you would see it on the portable game, and also offer up some of these exclusive Pokemon that you can't get on the game as, you know, incentives, I could see a lot of people going out and grabbing that, myself included. However, I think this is going to conclude our feature about non-main Pokemon games, and hopefully we've covered them all. I mean, I didn't double-check Risen Devil. I'm not sure if we're going to get another commenter coming up now and blasting out another load of games from the Pokemon franchise we've missed. Hopefully not, but you never know. There may be a part three. We'll see how that goes. Yeah, and with that, I believe we've come to the end of our show. If you've got any stories or features you would like us to talk about on one of the next shows, you can send them in to contact@infendo.com. I think this about wraps it up. This has been myself, Harrison, and Holly. Thanks for listening.
Later, guys.
Bye, guys.